Are you ready for the Word? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We understand, we just celebrated, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand when Jesus went to the cross, he brought available to us the great exchange. At the cross, Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world. Amen. The sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, so that everyone that calls upon him can be saved and delivered from sin. Now understand, the cross does more than just wash away the penalty of your sin. The cross makes it available that you can be born again and delivered from the very nature of sin. It says in verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. Amen. Not just forgiven, not just touched by the blood, but God says, "I change your heart. I change who you are." The Bible says we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, right? So when you are saved, you are changed by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And we understand that incorruptible seed can only produce an incorruptible harvest. Right? Incorruptible seed can only produce an incorruptible harvest. So when you got saved, God regened you. He changed your inner man's DNA to that of righteousness. Amen? Jesus took our sins so we could receive his righteousness, his righteous nature, his righteous impartation. So you're not the person you used to be. You still have the same head. Amen. The same thoughts, the same memories. You have the same flesh body that's held you back all of your life. But you have a brand new heart, a brand new nature. And God says you now, because you have received of the incorruptible seed, you've been made this new creation. You are now a child of the kingdom. You're a son of God. And you're a joint heir with Jesus. Through the cross, through receiving the work that Jesus did, we were able to access what we could never produce of ourselves. We were able to gain what we could never earn of our own efforts. No man ever, other than Jesus, ever could live a perfect enough life that they could be righteous enough to access heaven. There is no sin allowed in heaven. Amen. When you go to heaven, you will go without sin. Amen. But what part of you is going? The flesh or the spirit? The spirit man is going. You're leaving the flesh behind. Amen. Until God gives you a glorified body, you're not taking that old man, that old flesh body, to heaven. So when you got saved, God did the greatest miracle that will ever happen in your life. He took the old sin nature out of you and he put in you now a new righteous nature. You've been made a new creation. Amen? And you're no longer a sinner. We make a big mistake in church when we start to call ourselves sinners saved by grace. We were sinners, but we've been saved by grace. We've been recreated righteous, born again, sinless. And as we like to say, once you are saved, sin is merely the residue in your thinking, amen, and taking up operation in your flesh of who you used to be. Now when you sin, it's not you that sinneth, but it's sin in the flesh. Amen. It's sin inspired of memories of the past or inspired by actions of the enemy, but sin disagrees with your new born-again nature. Before you got saved, you loved to sin. It didn't bother me to sin whatsoever before I was saved. Not to any high level. Amen? Might be a little guilt, but I went on with it. I was able to survive, you know, all that condemnation. But once you are saved, you can never enjoy sin again. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will never enjoy living in the flesh again. Why? Because it disagrees with who you are. Once you're saved, God makes you a new creation. He makes you in His image, and God is love. He is agape. And God on the inside makes you love. And the only thing that can ever fulfill you, that can ever satisfy you, is to walk in love. Because only love, a walk of love on the outside, conforms with the nature of God on the inside. As long as you walk outwardly in a matter that opposes who you are inwardly, there will be confusion and disharmony in your life and unfulfillment. So our only source of fulfillment is to walk in love. Amen? Because when you do, you're acting outwardly what agrees with you inwardly, and you are satisfied. A Christian, I don't care how many cars, houses, boats you get. Amen. How big of an account you got. And understand, God wants you to be blessed. But it won't satisfy you without a walk of love. Amen. Which also means a walk of sowing. Because God so loved, He gave His best, right? We have been made new creations in Christ Jesus, who now are to walk in love and be conformed to the image of Jesus Himself. We're to become lovers, givers, sowers, and anointed. You follow me on that? Now, that being said, understand, when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you become saved and are made righteous, you now have full rights to the kingdom. You have full rights to everything that Jesus has made available. Do you follow me? You have rights to healing. You have rights to finances. You have rights to joy and peace. You have rights to fellowship with God. Amen. And that should be your heart as well. You have full rights to the kingdom. And there is not a single thing you can do. There is not a single thing in your life you can do to earn more rights with God. How can you earn more than the full package? There's not a seed you can sow. There's not a good deed you can do. There's not a word you can speak that will earn you more access to God. You already have a veil rent in two. You can come to God freely at any time, amen, as His child. But understand, just because you have free rights to come to God doesn't mean that you're acting on those rights. We started talking last week about a move that's sweeping through the church of believing that once you're saved, that nothing you can ever do will affect whether or not you were blessed. Did you follow, or whether you receive the blessings? You are blessed because you're a child of God. But you choose how much of the blessings you will step into. Amen? I mean, we gave the example. If you've got an individual over here that has learned to get in the Word, and they've learned to pray, they've learned the principles of the kingdom of God, they've learned how to walk by faith, they've learned to stand against darkness. And you got a person over here that just, they get born again, but they do their own thing all of their life. Both have equal access to the blessing. But they won't step into the blessing equally. Did you follow me? Jesus told believers, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come into him and sup." That wasn't spoken to unbelievers. It was spoken to believers. You choose whether or not you will open the door. You choose whether or not you will take steps to move into the spiritual opportunities God has given you. You know, in this nation, you have a right to get a public education, at least through 12th grade, right? It's prepaid. I mean, it's paid for you. You have a right. And as somebody going to school, you have a decision to make when you go, even at those young ages, how much you will invest yourself into the opportunity of education. Because I believe education is an opportunity to some level. Amen? And you can go to school and you can graduate 12th grade having taken Math 1. I don't know what you got to take now, but when I was in school, or you could graduate taking calculus. Amen? You could go to, you know, science 1 and science 2, or you could take physics and chemistry 1 and chemistry 2. And based on what you did in high school would determine many times your opportunities with college. You know, how you applied yourself in high school will affect how quickly you can go to some of the best schools. Amen. Well, you can go to Duke or Vanderbilt or something like that. Because they look at how well you've accessed opportunity in the past, whether or not you're developed enough to go into their opportunities of the future. And the same thing at some level is true in the kingdom of God. God's given everybody equal access to move into the blessings of God. Equal access to develop the anointings of God in their life. Equal access to move into the promises of God and receive of those blessings. We have equal access, equal rights. But you choose what level you will step into that opportunity. You choose whether or not you're going to be a person that will develop spiritual disciplines or whether you will let the flesh run wild. You choose whether or not you're going to have a prayer life or you're going to have a flesh-led life. Do you follow me? You choose whether you go after the anointing of God or whether you go after the entertainment of the world. And you cannot stand over here living out of the flesh, living out of reason, living out of a life with no heart for the things of the kingdom and say, well, I can receive the same blessings they can. No, you probably won't. You have a right to, but you won't. Because look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We understand faith accesses the blessing of God. When you get saved, you don't have to have any faith to have a right to the blessings. Did you follow me? You don't have to have any faith to have a right to the blessings. You had faith in the blood to get born again, and that gave you a right to the blessings. I hope you guys are following me on this. You didn't have to have faith in healing to have a right to healing, but you do have to have faith in healing to receive that healing. Did you follow me? Faith, in some fashion, becomes the currency to receive from the kingdom of God. Faith accesses. Currency isn't a good example because it sounds like purchasing. But faith connects you to the blessing and lets you receive it into your life. Faith believes in the promise of God and the supernatural promise of God and is willing to stand on what God has said until that blessing manifests in their life. No faith, no access to bring the blessing out of heaven into your life, even though it's available. I guess the example I'm trying to give is if you come to our, if you walk into Walmart, you have a right to purchase anything in Walmart if you have the currency. No currency, even though you have a right to purchase it, you can't have it. Did you follow me? In the same fashion, to some level, faith is the currency. It's what lets you purchase what you have a right to receive from heaven. The cross gave you the right to it, but only faith can access it. Did you follow me? And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by spending time in the Word until what God has said in the book becomes real in your heart. Faith comes by spending time going after what God said. Not that you're earning it, but you're developing yourself to receive it. Did you follow me on that? Not that you're earning it, but you're developing your ability to receive it. And a person that recognizes that faith accesses the blessing of God, doesn't earn it, it accesses it, is willing to position themselves and put the flesh under in a lifestyle that will develop faith so they can receive. In fact, understand, if there's anything you are lacking, if you're born again, if there's anything you are lacking that heaven has offered and you don't have it, it's because there is a lack of faith or a lack of activating faith. So I have come to the realization, if there's something I need that heaven has said I have a right to, I need to build my faith towards that promise. Did you follow me? No faith development, amen, no faith in my heart, no ability to reach in and receive what is already mine. Because faith grabs a hold of the promise of God and commands it into manifestation in their life. So you can have the same two Christians, one over here. I'll tell you how I did when I found about healing, 25 years ago when I found out God had made provision for me to be healed. I wrote down every healing verse in Scripture by hand in a notebook, and every day I read every verse. One, I'm trying to become convinced it's for me. And once I was convinced, I wanted to get down inside of me. And for 25 years, I've confessed healing over my life since I found out about it. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. He took all my sickness, all my disease. Amen. And you got the same person over here that never spends any time in the book. You follow me? Never goes after God. Has no word resonant within them other than, what they can kind of, they've caught by osmosis. No faith. They want to say, well, I can receive the same healing power. No, you can't, because only faith has the ability to bring it into your life. And what they want to do is say, well, I'll just play the grace card. Amen. I have all things by grace. Yeah, but do you have faith to receive it? You have a right by grace to access it. But are you positioning yourself to grab a hold of it? Because it doesn't say faith comes by being born again. This is written to believers. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by doing what's necessary to develop yourself spiritually. Those that have learned to move into high level of anointings have been people dedicated to seeking God, dedicating to putting the flesh down, dedicated to developing themselves spiritually. Amen. And they've come to realize the level they will go after God doesn't earn them rights to the anointing, but it positions themselves to be able to receive of the anointing. Go to Romans chapter 8. See, I've learned that if I'll pray in tongues extended amounts of time, it charges my spiritual batteries. I found that out. Of course, it says in the Word, right? Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If I will pray in tongues, it charges my spiritual batteries. If I don't pray in tongues, I start running on flesh. And my wife will attest, spiritual batteries filled is better. Amen. If I get stretched and strained where I've not gotten all my prayer time in, not legalistically, but because I like the anointing. And I recognize when I pray in the Spirit, I'm sowing mysteries to God. It comes back as revelation, and it comes back as spiritual refueling. As I spend time refueling with God, my disposition is a whole lot sweeter. Just like yours is. And some people will say, well, you're just being legalistic. You think you got to pray in tongues. I just pray in tongues when I feel like it. Well, I found that the flesh will a lot of times make me not feel like what I need to do. I find it every time I open the book. If I let flesh dominate, I want to take a nap. I just feel led to take a nap. You already slept 12 hours today. The Bible makes it clear that there's a war going on inside of you. flesh against spirit and spirit against flesh, your soul being the battleground. And it says, so you can't do the things you should do while that battle's going on. And you choose whether or not to side with spirit or side with flesh. And depending which side you side with will determine who wins the war. And if you side with flesh, it will lead you into destruction. And we have a whole move of a doctrine within the church that says, you don't have to pray, you don't have to read, you don't have to go after God. You're under grace. Well, that disagrees with the whole rest of the Bible then. Grace gives you access. It gives you rights. Amen. Grace is your provision to fulfill the call of God on your life. But you're not a puppet. See, there's a couple doctrines in church I hate. There's a couple doctrines I just despise. One is once saved, always saved. Amen. I hate that doctrine. It's not scriptural. Ezekiel chapter 18, we may go there later, lets us know that if the wicked man turns from his wickedness, amen, God will consider him righteous. But if the righteous man turns from his righteousness, God will consider him wicked. You're not saved eternally. You're saved as long as you stay in right standing with a faith connection to Jesus Christ. Do you follow me? And the other doctrine I hate is predestination. You know, your life's already planned out. It doesn't matter what you do. You just go through your life and God created you and He's already got everything planned out and He's behind the scenes doing everything. No, you choose. You choose who you will go after. God said, choose ye this day who you will serve. Amen. You choose who you'll go after. And in that battle with flesh and spirit, there's a whole mindset being released into the church of, Jude called it lasciviousness. A whole mindset where just live out of what you think sounds reasonable. You're under grace. And if there's any ever stress or strain in your life, it's just legalism. Well, the Bible says fast. That's always put a strain on my flesh. We pray all night, every single Friday night. Amen? I haven't missed a single Friday night prayer since we started it, other than when I was out of town. I don't think. About 10 o'clock, every Friday night, my flesh and I have this conversation. You've worked all day. You didn't get your nap. You didn't get all the stuff you wanted to do to be prepared. Call Rebecca. Rebecca can lead prayer tonight. Amen. You don't need to go. I'm talking every Friday, every single Friday night. Last Friday night, Rebecca was out of town. Flesh says, call her back from Michigan. Or the list starts going, well, who is there that can lead? Amen. Go through China and amen. Mike was out of town. Amen. Others can lead. And everything in me, as far as the flesh and reason, would say, yeah. You need a night off. You've been working hard. Amen. Kick back. But then something in the spirit rises up and says, no, it'll be the best one ever. It says, no, it's not an option. It's an assignment. Amen. You didn't do this. You didn't birth this on your own. What makes you think you can kick out of it on your own? Any more than church is supposed to be optional. If you feel like going, well, you go to church all the time, you're being legalistic. You're not being legalistic. You're being obedient. This is forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, so much more as you see the day approaching. So what we do is we go to Friday night prayer. And I'm telling you, in 2.5 years of this, I would say you could count on one hand all the times I felt like coming. Because the flesh is saying, all night? You think I would learn that the Holy Ghost always kicks in. You find me, it's going to be great. It's always been great. All night. Flesh going, you don't want to do that. Look at what you have to do tomorrow and all this. And I'm going to prayer. And every single time, every time, God has shown up. I have never in my life, ever, anytime, anywhere, been in prayer sessions like we have on Friday night. Not with the manifest presence of God almost from start to finish, and the level of the depth of it that we're stepping into. I've never been in prayer meetings like that. Well, he's being legalistic. No, I'm hungry for the things of God. And I've received visions. We all have words. And had I skipped Friday night prayer being not legalistic, I'd have missed that encounter with the Holy Spirit, that word from God that God says, I've given you the city. I'd have missed that. Because I didn't want to get caught up in law. I'm not praying to earn anything from God. I'm praying because through grace He's opened a window of opportunity for me to meet with Him, and I'm going to tell the flesh to shut up to take advantage of the opportunity. Because flesh and spirit are in this continual war that until one dominates, you're going to be in confusion. So I just choose. Amen. I attempt to choose to repeatedly choose spirit. And when you choose spirit, it will stretch flesh. Did you follow me? God never called for your flesh and your spirit to be at peace. They can't. One's after God, one's after overeating. I have found out, I've really found this out. And I'm getting victory over it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ah, glory to God. I'm getting victory over little Libby's. Amen. I married little Patty and a little Libby. I'm getting victory over these things because I found this flesh will eat them until it dies. It will suck down soda pops. You know, you have this here in the day. I'm here every day, you know, virtually. And you're here and you're thirsty. And so the Spirit says, get you something to drink. Get you some water. And the flesh says, I don't want water. I want a Pepsi. Did you follow? Anybody ever have that conversation? And the Spirit says, water. Pepsi. I'm going to win that battle. Amen? Pepsi shall not have dominion over me. For I have a right to the anointing to set me free from the law of Pepsi and the levies. Well, he's being legalistic. No, I want to live. You know, when we heard about that lady losing 50 pounds in 10 days, I thought, I'm going to lay hands on me. Little Debbie's, get thee behind me. And the Spirit of God says, till you can get control of the eating, well, I believe for supernatural weight loss. Amen? You just do it again. The battle between flesh and spirit will be there until you go home with Jesus. Now, I believe you can rise up enough in spirit to put the flesh down where it's totally subdued by the anointing. But until you get there, that battle continues. You just can't go over and say, well, you know, I'm a child of God and I have access to all the blessings of God. By grace, I'm saved and I just receive everything by grace. You have access by grace, but you must get involved in the battle to put down flesh. Because what happens is you get caught up in this inflated grace mentality and you float. Whatever I feel like doing, I'm doing. I'm just being led of the Spirit. You're being led of the flesh and by demonic powers many times. Because to follow through in doing what you have to do by being led of the Spirit, it's going to cause confrontation within you. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's called of God to go to the cross. Now, we don't have to go to the cross. But God will call you to do things you don't want to do in the flesh. It says he was in such turmoil, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. He is in extreme inner turmoil because he knows what lays ahead and he knows what the flesh would rather do. And he said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from before me, but yet not my will, but yours be done. And he chose to follow Spirit after that conflict. And the inflated grace mentality says, I'm just going to avoid all conflict. Well, then you're going to walk around all every open door God has, because before every open door God opens, there's always a devil waiting to try to shut you down from going through it. There will always be opposition rising up. And understand, I believe God made everything available at the cross. I believe there's nothing you can do to earn more from God than Jesus earned for us at the cross. But you choose how much opportunity you will step into by how much you will train that flesh to go after God. How much you will develop your spirit by spending time in the Word and time in prayer. Time praying in the Holy Ghost. Read through the Scriptures. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. You said building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's being legalistic. That's accessing opportunity. When I was in college, which has been, you know, 7, 8 years ago or more, many more, there was a joke going around through college about the people that make the most money. I should say a joke, a story going through. That many times in industry, the people that make the most money were the C students. Amen. The A students become professors. The B students work for companies. And the C students own the companies. Anybody ever heard that before? Raise your hand if you heard it so I don't sound like I'm making it up. Some of you have heard it before. And so that mindset was going through school. And we'd say, why bother making A's and B's? I can just get through with a C. I can get a diploma. It's not just getting a diploma that qualifies you to succeed. It's whether you learned anything. What did you learn? You're not there just seeking grades. You're seeking knowledge. And the same mindset swept through the church where it doesn't matter whether you apply yourself. Amen. You're born again. You got the diploma. It doesn't matter whether you have knowledge or not. It does matter. It does matter. We are to be transformed by spending time in this book. When I first got saved, my wife again will attest to this. I recognized, this is just something I went through mentally, that if God was real and I'd already made a decision, He was real. I mean, I made the decision. I believed He was real. I had to come to this realization. I was raised an atheist. 30 years old, we went to church, we experienced the Spirit of God, and I had to come to the revelation that God is indeed real. And if He's real, then He could certainly have a book authored and protect the integrity of it. I mean, here's a Creator God, surely He can protect a book. And if He wrote the book, and it's about Him, it would be best for me to learn out of the book. And I shut down every form, every area of, how can I say it, information gathering in my life other than the Bible. I shut down watching TV. I probably didn't watch TV for years after I got saved, other than occasional watch something. During the last half of the 80s, I couldn't tell you what was on TV. I wasn't watching it. I didn't read any books other than the Bible. Some books about the Bible. I didn't nothing. And every night after work, I went home and I read the Bible. I'd say hi to Patty. Amen. I'd go to the bedroom, get in the bed with the Bible, and I'd read the Bible. Day after day. Why? Because I was realizing I'm reading about God and His kingdom. Something I've never heard before. I'm learning about God. And I absorbed the Word of God. Well, I was hungry for it. But you know, after you've read it about 8 or 10 times, sometimes there's a tendency, well, I've read that book before. You may know what I'm talking about. I mean, after you've read the book of, you know, Matthew 12 times, you're reading the same stories. And spiritual boredom can set in. I shouldn't say it's not spiritual boredom. It's soulish boredom of spiritual things. And the tendency was, well, I've read it before. Why bother again? But I'd read it enough times to know that I'm not reading that book for entertainment. Not necessarily reading it for knowledge. I'm reading it for spiritual fueling. I'm fueling my faith. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. His word is His daily bread. And I'm reading it just to eat spiritually. So I found that if I will spend time in the Word every day, I'm feeding my spirit. It can stay strong and keep flesh under. Well, you're just being legalistic. No, I like the results of being anointed. I like the results of having my spirit man fed up. You follow me? Fed up meaning well-fueled and fed up with the world. I like my spirit man being in dominion over the flesh, winning the battle in the soul. And I recognize it does not win above the level I've got time fueling by the Word and praying in the Holy Ghost and spending time with God. So I develop spiritual disciplines, and I'll call them routines, but it's not ritualistic, because every time I open the book, I'm saying, God, feed me. Every time I pray, and I'm not doing it, 1 bead, 2 bead, 3 bead, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm going to God that in that opportunity of that day saying, God, speak to me now. I'm always praying, God, you know your sheep and your sheep know your voice and they will not hearken to the voice of the stranger. Speak to me now. Because I recognize I don't win beyond my relationship with God, His Word, and the life of praying. And I want to win. I like to win. I don't like to lose. And what I most don't want to lose to is my own flesh. So what I'm doing is not legalistic. It's mandatory for me to win. Grace does not replace your prayer life. It gives you access to a prayer life. Grace does not replace word time. It gives you access to receive out of the Word. Do you follow me? Grace does not replace praying in tongues. It gives you the grace, the ability to pray in tongues and receive interpretation and be fueled by it. We are called to live above. And living above requires obeying God's leading. Amen. In fact, look at Romans chapter 8. I told you to turn there a while ago. Are you getting out of this morning? Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now again, I will teach on this verse until Jesus comes back, because it was monumental in my life. I misread this verse for years. This verse, which is supposed to be a verse providing liberty for me to live free of condemnation, to me had become a verse giving me condemnation before I found out I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and even after. Because the way I used to read it was, even though it didn't say it, I would read it in this fashion. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but perfect in the Spirit. That's how I'd read it. Well, did you break that fast? Oh, God, please don't write my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You breaking a fast isn't going to get you kicked out of heaven. It's not going to reduce the grace you have access to one bit. Oh, God, I slept through prayer time. I didn't even pray today. Oh, God, please don't take thy Holy Spirit from me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You not getting word for a day, even days, is not going to get you kicked out of heaven. God's not going to withdraw a single thing out of your life because you missed prayer time. In fact, there is no spiritual discipline you can miss that will cause God to take one thing out of your life. Because you're His child, born again, and He's given you rights to the kingdom. And you missing prayer for a week doesn't mean that you don't have those rights anymore. What happens is you missing prayer doesn't cause God to do anything against you. But you missing prayer repeatedly, your life drains your fuel tanks, and all of a sudden you don't have access to the faith you needed to receive. You didn't have the overflowing spiritual momentum you needed to overcome. You didn't have the anointing on your life you needed to put down darkness and put down the flesh. Because you weren't doing what was necessary to keep a connection going, to keep you refueled. Do you eat natural food every day unless you're on a fast? Absolutely. We're just being legalistic. You have come to recognize you can go without food for a meal. You can go without food for a day. Most haven't, but you can. And chances are, after a couple days of missing food, until a regular fast kicks in, you'll experience weakness, maybe a headache, lightheadedness, and your brain will say, "Wait a minute, you haven't eaten." I mean, most of you, if you miss breakfast, you're okay. And you get busy, you miss lunch, no big deal. But about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, all of a sudden symptoms start kicking in of not having eaten. And the flesh says, "You better feed me quick or we're going to have a fit on your hands." I know my wife so well. I know her feeding schedule by her attitude. Get her chocolate quick. You know, I have an understanding. Because if she hadn't eaten in so long, the flesh reminds us of it. Same with you and me, right? About 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you haven't eaten since maybe a snack at breakfast, and the flesh is saying, "Feed me now." And you say, "Well, you're just being legalistic. You don't need to eat." No, you need fuel to continue with the strength you need to accomplish your day. In the natural, you follow me. Yet, when your spiritual tank's getting empty, we're not as aware of the symptoms that say, "Feed me." Spirit man's getting under saying, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." But the flesh said, "Hey, we're fine. I got this. I can do this." That flesh will kill you. That flesh will eat itself to death, drink itself to death, drug itself to death. It'll kill you. And you have to keep the spirit man fueled and fed to keep flesh under. Not legalistically, but through wisdom. Through wisdom is the house builded. Through understanding spiritual principles. Jesus would go out and pray early in the morning. Amen. He'd go to the mountain to get alone. He understood the need to be fueled. But we call it legalism. He was just being legalistic. He was developing himself, feeding himself, positioning himself. And so I used to read verse 1 as, "There's no condemnation for those which are perfect in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say perfect. It says after. Which part of your triune being are you going after? You can go after the spirit man being in control. then you're going to do what's necessary to feed the spirit man. You follow me? You can go after the flesh man being in control, and you can eat donuts all day, which I'm free from as well in Jesus' name. Holy as they are. You can let the flesh man dominate. You can let the soul dominate. You just live out of reason, out of intellect, out of trying to outthink the Word of God. Well, I know the Word says it, but here's what I believe. You're living by reason. These two will kill you. Only the Spirit has the ability to take you into life. And you choose which one you will follow after. So if you are determined, like Paul said, here's what Paul said. I press toward the mark of just getting by in the kingdom of God. Amen? I go after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus when I feel like it. He didn't say that. He said in Philippians 3, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, and if I be any way otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto me. God will let you know when your spiritual disciplines are slipping. Well, that's just condemnation. No, that's conviction. That's God letting you know you need to fuel. It's God letting you know you're letting some stuff slip. You need to make sure that you're keeping yourself spirit-led. Because those which are led of the Spirit are the weos to mature sons of God. Those that don't let the Spirit dominate are led of flesh, and they're still babes in Christ, even though they have full rights to every blessing of the kingdom. They stay in babyhood state. Paul even told the Corinthian church, he says, you have gifts, but you're still babies because there's strife and division in your church. You get fueled up in God, there won't be strife and division. I'm working on a message now God's dealing with me on. Walking free of criticism and judgment. Walking free of criticism and judgment to do it properly is not as much a decision as it is being properly fueled. Because you get full of God and judgment, it won't even connect to you. It's just like, oh, Jesus, bless them. They cut you off and try, oh, God, it's okay. They don't know. Just bless them. You know, they're trying to attack you. Oh, they're just led of the devil. Oh, God, set them free. You're full of God. Criticism can't stick to you. Criticism is not as much a decision as it is a position. And in the same fashion, we're to be led of the Spirit to keep us properly positioned. So it says there's no condemnation for those that go after the Spirit. Are you going after pressing toward the mark of the high calling? Are you going after God? Are you going after the things of the Spirit? Are you just deciding, hey, I'm just going to be flesh led? Because the no condemnation verse doesn't work for those led of flesh. It doesn't work for those dominated of flesh. You live your life dominated of flesh and sin will dominate your life. And if sin dominates your life, you will live in condemnation. And you can sit here with your grace card all you want. There's no condemnation. It's eating your lunch and you're not manifesting anything. We are to apply ourselves to the things of the kingdom. Not legalistically, but because we want better in our life. I've lived without anointing. I've lived with anointing. Anointing is better. Do you follow me? And I know I cannot. I'm telling you what. You'd think after 28 years in this, I would have earned rights to not have to do these things anymore. I would have been so fully developed that I wouldn't have to pray anymore. Prayer's not something I have to do. I get to pray. I get to spend time with God. I get to hear God. I get to receive revelation of the Word. But you'd think I'd be at a place now so elevated I don't have to do it anymore. I have found out still if I don't do those things, flesh will creep back in and dominate. Amen. You get to dominate flesh. You don't get to kill it. You kill flesh, you have no place to live anymore as spirit. Amen? And you find another place to be. So it says there's no condemnation for those that walk after the Spirit. Just choose to go after God. You go after God, You choose to say, hey, I'm going to develop myself. I want to move into the things of the kingdom. You can live free of condemnation. Because then when you blow it over here and you sleep through prayer, or you miss prayer for a day or two, or you don't get in the Word because you're so busy, you can say, God, you know I'm after you, and I thank you, Father, you said I can live free of condemnation. Devil, get behind me. You have no right to me. I'm after God. And you can walk free of condemnation. Before I got the revelation righteous, I lived in condemnation. I mean, I was fasting all the time, praying all the time, in church all the time, doing everything I knew to do, all the rules of being spiritual I was doing, and still lived in condemnation. Because I still identified with myself being a sinner. When I found out I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, amen, I still lived in condemnation. Because I was still trying to perform. The cross sets you free from performance. Do you follow me? It sets you free from performance mentality. You're not earning things with God. You're positioning yourself to develop yourself to receive. So I don't do it out of performance mentality. I do it out of opportunity mentality. And when I move from performance mentality to opportunity mentality, condemnation left. Grace delivers you. Grace revelation delivers you from performance mentality. But it doesn't deliver you from applying yourself to the opportunity grace has given you. Did you follow me? The grace card does not trump intentional disobedience. It does not replace a spirit-led life. It does not replace spiritual development. Do you follow me? It gives you access to spiritual development. You choose whether you'll be an A student, a B student, a C student, or where you're going to flunk the whole course. Well, again, Pastor Jack, you're just being legalistic. Well, Jesus gave the parable of the talents and the pounds. Remember that? One took his 5 talents, went and made 10. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The one that had 2, went and doubled it, made 4. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Got the same reward. He applied himself. He doubled what he had. He got the same reward as the first guy. But the one that took his gift and buried it and didn't produce anything out of it, just had the same thing he started with. He said, I knew you were a hard and austere man. Amen. Jesus, take that what he has, give it to the one that has 10. Doesn't sound fair, but it's the way the kingdom works. Amen. And throw him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He wouldn't apply himself whatsoever. And that's what some of this mentality is producing, is the people that won't apply themselves. And it really parallels the once saved, always saved and predestination mindsets put together. In other words, I can do what I want. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And no use me applying. God's got my life in his hands. You know, it's all under grace. You won't access what God provided because you're not following the rest of the word that follows after being saved. Paul said, pray continuously. He's just legalistic. Understand, I don't pray out of performance. I don't pray to earn anything from God. I pray to access what he's already freely provided me. Amen. And I can fuel spirit or I can fuel flesh with the hours I have. And which one I fuel will determine whether or not I live in the liberty and the victory. The liberty where Christ has made me free. The victory of the anointing. Or whether I'll stay dominated by flesh. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from trying to earn my own righteousness. Did you follow me? I have a right to live free of condemnation. He says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Through the cross, Jesus condemned sin. When you got saved, you were delivered from the nature of sin. But it's still going to be resident in your flesh. But it's been condemned. When a building is condemned, it's still standing. Did you follow me? They hang the condemned sign on a building, it is still standing. And what condemned means is it means targeted for demolition. So when you get saved, God hangs you have the responsibility to do it, hangs a condemned sign on your flesh, and it's targeted for demolition, but you got to tear it down. God doesn't tear down the flesh for you. You have to tear it down. How do you tear it down? By letting word replace mindsets of the flesh. By becoming spiritually minded that you can dominate flesh. By fueling yourself spiritually that you can overcome every work of the flesh that would try to manifest. Because if you're not spiritually fueled, the works of the flesh will come forth. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, and temperance, right? But right, and that's the result of being spiritually fueled and fed and developed. Not just being born again. Because I've met a whole lot of cantankerous people that were saved. This is a result of spiritual development. The works of the flesh, which are what are going to be on you before you're saved and continue after you're saved until you develop yourself, are envy, strife, hatred, sedition, jealousy, murders, covenant breaking. All these things are on your flesh and will continue till you tear them down. And you know what? If you quit developing yourself spiritually and you quit fueling yourself, the flesh will build them back up. They will come back up without the right spiritual connection. That's why people come here and they get delivered from something. I say you need to keep coming to church to stay positioned, to stay fueled, to keep them out of your life. Because the devil, when he's cast out, goes through dry places, roaming about seeking rest and finding none. He goes back to his house from whence he was evicted, right? And if you don't have the word resident in there, he'll move back in and with seven spirits more wicked than himself. Can't let flesh dominate. We stay fueled by spirit. We stay free of condemnation. We walk in the anointing. Verse 4. He condemns sin in the flesh in verse 3, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You got to walk after Spirit. Or flesh will stay condemned, but built up and inhabited. You know, there's a whole lot of buildings that have condemned signs on them that people live in. Homeless people find condemned buildings and move into them in mass. You follow me? Just because it's condemned doesn't mean there's nobody inhabiting it. And you don't tear down your building, something will move in. Amen. And they will stink. Not picking on the homeless. I'm just saying devils will move in and it won't be pleasant. You got to tear it down. Your spirit is a habitation for God. Your flesh will be a habitation for the devil. Tear down his habitation. Forcefully. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or flesh-minded or reasoning-minded is death. But to be spiritually minded through time in the Word and time in prayer is life and peace. Did you follow me? Because the carnal mind, the flesh-led mind, the mind that will not apply themselves to the things of the kingdom, is enmity. It's at war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me explain just for a minute really what's happened in the body of Christ. For the past 500 years, really the past most of the 2000, the church, even though they have rights to God, they've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if they're born again. They have rights to live free of condemnation. Most of the church has reestablished legalism in their church. First, it was a dress code, amen, a makeup and hair code, a skirt length code, then it's a word code, you know, did you cuss? Oh, you're going to hell. There's a smoking code. There's, you know, all these codes we had in the church. Then it moved into, well, it's a prayer code. Did you pray 8 hours a day? Oh, you've disappointed God. He's going to kick you out of the kingdom. Amen. We put all these stipulations on spiritual, how can I say it, requirements that become law in the church, and we became burdened down in bondage by them. And it's horrible, the condemnation that would rest on you. Even though you're after God with all your heart, you're still under this condemnation because you feel like you're always violating the rules of the church. So what happened is the revelation of righteousness has come forth. There were new creations set free by the law. Amen? That Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of law through the cross, that we cannot earn any level of blessing from God. It's already provided through grace by faith. And the intention was, through that revelation, to set us free from the laws of the church, to be free to follow after the laws of the Spirit. You follow me? Without condemnation. But instead, because people were so burdened down by legalism in their life and their mentality and feeling burdened down by spiritual requirements and law, what happened is they went clear the other way of the pendulum swing. Here's the pendulum way up here. They went clear over here and said, I am free because I'm righteous, and nobody will ever put law on me again or requirements. Anything that tries to put any kind of level of demand on me must be legalism, must be, you know, of the devil. And they live out of flesh. They were living out of flesh over here, trying to do it by their own efforts. But at least they were fueling themselves spiritually. You follow me? And they swang clover here again through the place where they're supposed to be going after God freely, putting the flesh down forcefully, but living free of the condemnation of church legalism. And they swang clover here to the place where nobody will tell me when I got to go to church. I'm not going to put any demands on my life that I have to have a discipline of spiritual discipline in my life. That's just legalism. Well, is eating legalism? As we said. And we have a whole group of the churches running from spiritual requirements to the place of what they think is liberty, but really is still captivity to the same flesh that held them captive over there. When in fact God says, what I need you to do is understand through the cross you've been set free from law. There's no performance you can do to access more rights with my kingdom, and come to the point, not where you go where now nobody can tell you what to do. You're still under divine order. It's still in the Word. Amen. Hebrews says, obey those who have the rule over you. You're still supposed to be under spiritual covering. Not me, bless God. I'm free by the cross. You're out there in la-la land. Jude called them clouds without water, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Trees without fruit, whose fruit withereth, right? And God says, don't go all the way over there. Go to the place where you're still going after God and you're putting the flesh down, but you're not doing it out of performance. You're doing it out of spiritual hunger, not flesh, not letting the flesh dominate your spirit, man. And you're willing to apply discipline in your life out of hunger, not out of legalism. For me to pray every day and read the Word every day is not legalism. It's a discipline I've instilled to stay fueled. You know, Olympic athletes, we brought this out last week. Athletes in training, they eat specific things at specific times to develop themselves properly for their area of athletic endeavor. I watched, was it Phelps was showing his diet back at the last Olympics. He was showing his diet, and he ate fish like 6 times a day. Anybody remember seeing that? He was feeding fish all day, and it was boiled fish. Same bowl of boiled fish every meal. Put some salt on it or something, amen? Give me some soy sauce. And the point was Some of them say, well, he's just being legalistic. No, he was after eight gold medals. And he had found out that that was the meal that would properly develop him for his athletic event. And he was determined to set aside anything that would interfere with his quest after the gold medals. Do you follow me? And yet, we determine to put disciplines in our life to go after the things which are of more importance than gold medals. Amen. Go after the things of the Spirit that perish not, that bring eternal reward. And we're being legalistic because we say we're going to pray, you know, we're going to pray every day. I have found out when I pray in the Holy Ghost, a lot of the time I don't feel like doing it for the first 20 minutes. For 20 minutes I'll fight the flesh. Oh, Rabba Satasi. Oh, you got so many things to do. You don't have time for this. Oh, Rabba Sotosh. And then after about 20 minutes or so, or however long, here comes the Spirit of God, and you don't want to stop. All of a sudden you realize you're doing the only thing that really has true power and importance in your life, and you're being supercharged by it. You got to fight 20 minutes of feeling like you're being legalistic to bust through to the Spirit. Those that came to prayer Friday night, did you enjoy it? Raise your hand if you enjoyed prayer Friday night. See the hands, you enjoyed it. Got touched by God. Got empowered by God. But I bet if I had hands, how many were looking forward to it at 10:30 at night? How many had to fight through opposition that was trying to keep you from it? Every week at 10 to 10:30 or there, about 10 to 11, I'm fighting a battle that says stay home. And if I was of a lasciviousness mindset, I'd say, oh, you're being legalistic, go to prayer. No, I recognize something's going to happen, and I have to shut down this area of thinking, this area of resistance now to go where I want to be. I cannot go over here where I'm letting flesh dominate to keep me from what God wants me in. And you can never, let me close with this. You can never follow flesh and get to God's goal. Whatever God calls you to do, there will be three forms of opposition. Financial, demonic, and flesh. Whatever God, I don't care what He calls you to do, there'll be three forms of opposition. Unless He tells you to go to Dairy Queen, then you're all in. Even the devil, I'm in for that. Devil, I'm for that one. He'll let you take a day off and go to Dairy Queen. You follow me? He's not legalistic. But there's three parts that will vote for Dairy Queen every meal. Amen. I'm talking about not the hamburger part, but the ice cream part. Every meal. I want a blizzard. I want a blizzard. I vote for blizzard. The flesh over a voting blizzard. It'll kill you. Most of the time when God's telling you to do something that's going to take you somewhere, it's going to be opposed by the flesh, the devil, and a lack of funds. And you got to be willing by faith to go through all three. We are called to manifest the glory. It says in Colossians that it's Christ in you, the hope or blueprint of glory. God's in you. Christ is in you. Well, why isn't it on the outside? Because there's a flesh shell resisting His manifestation. And you got to get in the Word to tear down flesh to let glory manifest outwardly. The fruit of the Spirit's in you if you're saved. What's keeping it from coming out? Flesh-headedness. Being carnally minded. Too much unbelief and flesh resistance to let the anointing come forth and manifest as the fruit of the Spirit. Grace gives us opportunity. Obedience to the Spirit takes us into the fulfillment of that opportunity in your life. Never call the conviction of the Holy Spirit legalism. When Jesus was casting out devils, They said, "Behold, he casts out devils by Beelzebub." And he says, every sin will be forgiven man except the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And what he was saying is, when you start attributing the works of God to the devil, he says, you're blaspheming the Spirit. Well, to some level, when you start calling conviction that God brings about doing spiritual things, you call it condemnation, you attribute it to the devil, you're in some fashion actually in that area of blasphemy. You must be able to identify, separate condemnation of the devil from conviction of God. One is genuine, one is an abomination. And even though you walk into the Spirit, you have a right to be free of condemnation. You will never be free of conviction, because God's always drawing you deeper. And conviction is not a bad thing. It's letting you know you're in connection with God, who wants to, He wants to perfect you, mature you, develop you, anoint you, use you for His glory. Jesus, when He was in His earthly ministry, had two types of people follow after Him. The multitudes and the disciples. When things got tough, the multitudes deserted Him. When He said things they didn't understand, they left. But there were 12, and probably more, that hung around, called the disciples. When Jesus said, "Will you leave also?" they said, "To whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Only the disciples were able to stay the course to go to the place God could appoint them to apostleship and to carry the high level of anointings. The multitudes couldn't. They were crying crucify. They were from witnessing the miracles of God to crying crucify. But the disciples, even though they fled, they did not turn on Him, other than Judas. The root word of disciple is discipline. It means someone that has disciplined themselves. They're refusing to let flesh dominate, and they're going to do whatever is necessary to position themselves to be available for Jesus to speak into them. Well, those 12 were just being legalistic. The multitudes had the liberty. Do you get the picture? Determined to be disciplined. Don't fall for this meat-headed doctrine that you don't have to do anything spiritual. You're under grace. You'll miss your appointment with God. Stand with me. Let's magnify Jesus here for a minute. See how He wants to close out this service.